Coming up, where will you be on November 2nd? Chirp Weekly Edition's Emily Groh asks students whether they'll be voting in the upcoming election.
A man runs his girlfriend's car off the road. Over a PlayStation?
Do you have your costume ready for Halloween? We'll tell you about one style that's causing some controversy.
What does a yogurt-eating contest or a male body pageant have to do with breast cancer awareness? We'll tell you. Chirp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Brian Kaufman.
And I'm Faye Koya. In 2008, young voters came out in force and were a driving factor behind electing President Obama. 2 years later, Governor Martin O'Malley and former Governor Bob Ehrlich are trying to have the same turnout for this year's governor's elections. So will student turnout decrease in this off-year election?
Your local state officials are not the only ones campaigning for the November 2nd elections. President Obama has gone across the country making many stops at universities, trying to encourage young people to go out and vote. They could be a significant asset to whoever is voted into office, as Obama knows from personal experience.
And the only way to fight it, the only way to match their millions of dollars, is all of you. Millions of voices who are ready to finish what we started in 2008. That's where you come in. That's why you need to vote in this election.
There are also multiple political groups on campus trying to register students so they can get their voices heard in the upcoming elections. These groups are getting out-of-state students to register in Maryland because they know one of the main reasons students don't vote is because of going through the hassle of filling out an absentee ballot. While each group's goal is to gain support for their party's candidate, they also want young people and students in particular to gain awareness about voting. As we saw in the 2008 presidential elections, there was an anomaly in the amount of young voters that came out. Ashwani Jain, a student coordinator for the state of Maryland for Organizing for America, said they are trying to reach out to these same people who wanted their opinion to count and make them see that they can actually interact with these state officials as opposed to someone like President Obama.
Actually, it's the other races, you know, Congress and the local races that actually affect your lives more directly. You know, because it's those local officials who you can actually see at the coffee shop and actually know, you know, where, what route you go to take, you know, to go to school and what classes you're taking, et cetera. So people really need to, you know, get up there and vote, because just because the president's not on it does not mean that it's not going to affect your life.
However, even with all these outside campaigns trying to encourage voters, many students still say that it has not affected their decision and will probably not vote.
Yeah, I'm not going to vote because I'm not registered in Maryland.
I don't really think that, like, my vote, like, really contributes that much. So, yeah, I just don't really think it's, like, worth my time to vote.
I'm not really into politics yet, so I probably won't vote just because I'm not really, I don't have the knowledge enough to vote, so.
But as always, there's an exception to every rule.
I mean, I plan on voting just because I feel like it's important that everyone who has the opportunity to vote, like, goes out and takes, you know, uses that opportunity. And, I mean, it's given to us for a reason, so I think we should use it.
In College Park, I'm Emily Groh for Terp Weekly Edition.
Students should take caution when driving through College Park, as new speeding cameras are being installed. The first speeding camera was installed recently on Paint Branch Parkway. The university plans to install at least 5 more cameras in different places around campus, including University Boulevard and Route 1. Students caught exceeding the posted limit by 12 miles per hour will be issued a $40 ticket on the first offense.
From war correspondents to teenage sailors, satellites were the theme at this year's White Symposium held in the Kim Engineering Building. Chirp Weekly Edition's Beth Schwartz has the story.
It's April 1945. I'm coming home from PS-206, and on the porch is my mother, Mrs. McGuire, Mrs. Flink, Mrs. Bloom. And I'm noticing very, very honestly that these women are weeping. Ladies and gentlemen, the the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, has died today. This little plastic radio that's a Spilco with a little round thing with knobs on it, with numbers, can evoke emotion out of these strong women like that. I wanted to be inside that radio.
Radio Hall of Famer DJ Cousin Brucey, along with former CNN correspondent Jamie McIntyre, NOAA satellite officer Abigail Harper, and audience favorite 16-year-old sailor Abby Sunderland, spoke at last week's White Symposium to tell the story of how satellites impacted their life and career.
I did spend the last 16 years covering the Pentagon for CNN. I did travel all around the world. Of course, satellites were a big part of what we did.
There were 25, 30-foot waves. I had 60 knots of wind. I flew across the cabin, blacked out, and woke up on the roof of my boat with water pouring in everywhere and everything flying around the cabin. As the boat was in the process of rolling back over, I was realizing what this meant. I was realizing that I was in one of the most remote places in the world. I was 2,000 miles from Africa and Australia.
I think you'll all remember Hurricane Katrina. These are images from the GO satellite that helped us to identify and track it.
The event brought together college and high school students from around Maryland to hear their stories.
My most interesting part was Abby and her telling about her whole trip.
A better knowledge that you shouldn't really give up on anything because you never know like what could come from it.
In College Park, Beth Schwartz, Terp Weekly Edition.
Coming up after the break, it's the time of year that most people say is just for kids, but many students in College Park beg to differ.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see, this our town of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween, pumpkins scream in the dead of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a scene, trick.
Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm. It's our town. Everybody's free.
This town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Faye Coya.
And I'm Brian Kaufman. Terps, get ready, because not only is Halloween coming up, it's also homecoming here at UMD. There are events happening every day of the week, including a penny war to benefit the Division of Student Affairs Crisis Fund. Other events include an a cappella show, a pep rally, a blood drive, a parade, and of course the homecoming football game Saturday against Wake Forest. Also happening this week, the dedication of the Garden of Reflection and Remembrance alongside the chapel on Friday. For a full list of events, visit homecoming.umd.edu.
In addition to homecoming, Terps are preparing for another type of celebration that's a little spooky. Jolie Doggett has more.
A chilling scream, a haunted house, and candy wrappers everywhere. All signs that Halloween is right around the corner. What are University of Maryland students doing to celebrate?
My plans to get dressed as something else and get wild.
My main goal is to get to a really good haunted house or a haunted forest I heard about in Northern Maryland.
I got invited to some house party, but they said it's like a costume / lingerie party, so I'm not too sure about that one.
I plan on going to the Q party. It's a fraternity party. Or if that falls through, I might go to Howard University.
Halloween Day falls on a Sunday this year, and some students are planning festivities for each day of the weekend.
I'm going to go to a rave / concert Friday night called Farmageddon. And then Saturday, I think I'm going to go to a ballroom costume party for ballroom dancing. And then on Sunday, I'm just going to chill out with my girlfriends and watch movies in costume.
And what are students wearing this holiday weekend?
I'm going to be Cupid for Halloween. I'm going to have white compression shorts, a bow and arrow, and I'm going to have someone paint wings on my back with glow-in-the-dark body paint.
I waited until last minute, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a costume to be a cop. But they have plenty of stuff for vampires because, you know, the whole Twilight Saga thing going on. So I can easily get a vampire costume together.
I was going to be a cat and also do a French maid outfit. I like to collect costumes. So I could wear a costume probably every day for a season.
According to the LA Times, some of the most popular costumes for this year are expected to be Lady Gaga, the Old Spice Guy, and any cast member from the hit MTV series The Jersey Shore, a perfect choice for Terps planning to celebrate in groups. But is this holiday of creepers, candy, and costumes just for kids?
I just think it's fun. Like, everybody wants to, you know, show a different side to them. Like, people that are really reserved end up, like, being completely crazy on Halloween. And it's just a fun thing to do.
Everyone loves candy, so not just kids, but people in college. And I want my candy, so I'm going to go trick-or-treating. I don't care what people say.
I think anyone can celebrate Halloween. It's for all ages, really.
I don't think that anyone is too old to celebrate Halloween, especially since Halloween is my favorite holiday. I celebrate that every year. That's never going to change.
Students still looking for something to do this holiday weekend can check out different events at the University of Maryland, like the free movie marathon at the Hoff Theater from noon until midnight Halloween day. As for me, you can find me at a local Halloween house party dressed as a ship-stealing, sword-wielding pirate in College Park. I'm Jolie Doggett for Terp Weekly Edition.
Halloween is a holiday when people are free to dress up as anything they want. But in college, are the trends of girls leaning towards the more risque? I talked to some students to find out what they think.
In the regular world, Halloween is when children dress up in costumes and beg for candy. In girl world, Halloween is the one night a year when a girl can dress like a total slut and no other girls can say anything about it. The hardcore girls.
The 2004 movie Mean Girls made light of revealing costumes on Halloween, but that was high school. Is this still the trend in college?
Do you want to be a slutty nurse? Do you want to be a slutty princess? Last year I was Britney Spears, like the schoolgirl Britney, so I pretty much look like a stripper.
You can't really go into any of those party stores anymore without finding really skimpy outfits.
Biology major Brianna Fair agrees.
We're on partycity.com. Okay, well, in top costumes, they have an Avatar costume, which is basically like a bodysuit. Let's see, they have a Mad Hatter costume. Yes, they're all sexy.
So are these costumes popular just because of lack of options?
Societal pressure. Everyone else wears really revealing costumes, so you sort of have to go along with the norm, otherwise you look out of place.
It's fun to dress up once a year, and you can be whatever you want.
Halloween and certain other holidays just give girls a reason to slut it up, and they like to do that, certain girls. And I don't really think it has to do with pressure, it just has to do with the girl.
Competition for attention also seems to play a role.
You know that every other girl is going to be out there in her underwear, and if you want to get attention from guys, if you want to get attention at the party, if you want to, you know what I mean, make an impression and not feel awkward or left out, you know it's helpful if you look like a whore.
The hotter you look, the more you're noticed.
At the end of the day, a lot of the things that girls do, even competing with each other, is based on what a man would like.
So what do guys think about risque costumes?
Slutty costumes on good-looking girls is generally a treat for most guys around.
I'm pro.
I mean, I like it. I think it gets everybody in the spirit.
But not all guys are in favor.
I just like girls who have cool outfits on, not just like you're like very basic, like, I don't know, a lot of people are like nurses or stuff like that. Kind of like when people change it up.
Adults are weighing in as well. Center of Health and Well-Being's Lauren Stewart.
As long as you feel confident in it, I think the worst thing to do is, you know, to wear something that, like that and then not feel good about yourself the entire night. So, you know, if someone's kind of feeling a little unsure of it, I would, you know, of course suggest, you know, maybe trying something different. It's Halloween. You can kind of be whatever you want to be.
Leslie Walker, visiting professor at the Philip Merrill School of Journalism, says the trend reflects the changing generations.
I think this era of young people is one of more freedom of sexual expression, without question.
As Halloween draws closer, how do students feel? Does it send the wrong message, or is it all just in good fun?
I mean, if their nipples are hanging out, that's a little too much, but if it's like showing a little leg, that's okay.
It's nice to see cute rather than slutty.
It's Halloween, like, show some skin. It doesn't matter.
Halloween's kind of lost its meaning. Like, it's now about, like, who can dress sluttier. Like, it's a reason for girls to dress sluttier. And it takes the point of, like, just dressing up and having fun. And it's more of, like, let's dress up and see how, like, slutty we can get.
Let them do what they want to do.
Whether they are offended, neutral, or approve, one thing is definitely clear. Costumes are still just as important to college students as they were when they were growing up.
Leaning towards Legend of the Hidden Temple type contestant.
Oh, firefighter.
Batman.
Male stripper from Chippendales.
I'm going to be Silent Bob.
I'm going to be Jay to her Silent Bob.
In College Park, I'm Faye Koyuk, Terp Weekly
Alice
Edition.
Wonder.
After the break, grab your running shoes because these Terps are going the distance.
And Corey Gallagher will tell you how sorority Zeta Tau Alpha and others have College Park thinking pink all October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Brian Kaufman. Are you a baseball fan, Faye?
Can't say that I am, Brian.
Well, those that are fans around campus can get a little excited when their team is playing. In the heat of the postseason, Terp Weekly Edition's Jesse Brecker talked with students around campus about their favorite baseball teams.
As Americans, there are many things we value. Family, a good barbecue, and an exciting game to watch on the big screen TV. And what is more American than baseball? From Little League to the MLB, this favorite pastime certainly has a special place in our hearts. Deep into the postseason action, I talked with students campus-wide to hear about what teams they support and why. I heard from a variety of different fan bases, including the good, Phillies,
I support the New York Yankees,
the not so good,
the Boston Red Sox,
and the just plain ugly.
I could not tell you why, but I support the New York Mets,
the Baltimore Orioles.
While their teams may be different, the reasons why they supported them were very similar.
My dad grew up in Philly, so he raised me and my brothers Philly fans.
I follow the Boston Red Sox. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan because I was born in Boston, and it's a Boston thing.
I grew up in the New York area, and my family's always supported them, so I just have grown up with the Yankees.
I think it's just always a thing, like you grow up in Philly, and just everyone around you is a Phillies fan, and it's something you're so used to.
So my dad was a huge diehard Mets fan when I was growing up, so I was always watching them, and I became a huge fan.
Some were able to comment on their team's postseason glory, while others discussed how they cope without their favorite team in the playoffs.
I mean, I kind of cheer against the Yankees, and I mean, I don't really expect much from the Orioles because they're the Orioles, so.
Well, it kind of sucks, but as long as the Yankees don't win, I'll be pretty happy.
Excitement about it, getting closer to the World Series, everyone's really interested, and it makes the team feel a little more special.
If we can pull off some magic and win three in a row, I have some confidence.
I still have interest in the postseason, kind of just being a baseball fan, but obviously not as much of an interest I would like to have because I would obviously like to see the Mets there.
I'm not rooting for anyone in the playoffs because the Red Sox aren't in it, and I really don't believe in rooting for another team if your team isn't in it, because how can you call yourself a real fan?
Despite their different opinions, all agreed on the importance of keeping their fandom alive at UMD.
I've tried to convince my friends who don't really support any particular team to join the Yankee bandwagon and help me support my team.
I go to the games in Baltimore, $6 seats. I laugh at Baltimore fans all day.
Not that many Yankee fans. I mean, not as many as I'd like. But, you know, I make it known who I like, definitely.
I wear my Phillies jersey, my Eagles jersey all the time. I watch every game. I talk to my friends about it.
I force people to watch games with me. Like, by force.
As a diehard Phillies fan, here's a taste of the Philly pride as the late, great Harry Callis calls the final play of the 2008 World Series. For Terp Weekly Edition, this is Jesse Brecker in College Park.
Fans of a different sort will be crowding the Washington, D.C. Mall this Saturday. We're referring, of course, to the rally to restore sanity that's being hosted by Comedy Central's Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. The comedic duo is organizing the event to speak out against extremists on both sides of the political spectrum. The event's website asks for the busy majority, those who are usually too busy to attend rallies, to support the call to reasonableness.
Did you know October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Our own Corey Gallagher will tell you how sorority Zeta Tau Alpha has gotten creative in getting the word out this month about breast cancer education around campus and the D.C. area.
October marked the beginning of the Think Pink movement nationwide as the National Breast Cancer Awareness Month Foundation celebrated its 25th year of education and consciousness. The iconic pink ribbon has become the beacon for the movement and can be seen everywhere from the entertainment world to NFL games, with players wearing pink cleats with matching pink gloves. At the University of Maryland, clubs and organizations have done their part in getting the word out about breast cancer awareness. Sorority Zeta Tau Alpha is taking the creative approach in raising awareness, incorporating fun with a serious issue.
And the other event was our first annual Best Dress Competition, which we had it was free to sign up, and basically guys were in charge of like campaigning for themselves and fundraising, like going around to people's, trying to get their votes, like their money. And the guy who had collected the most money was deemed best chest, but it ended up being really fun. Like guys did like a catwalk, one guy was doing like backflips to get votes, and like we ended up raising like $600 that night.
And Zeta has a method to their madness. They show a strong passion for educating by capturing a person's attention.
It's not just about the fun stuff. It is about like raising awareness, making people aware that this can happen to them, like boys and girls, like young and old. Doesn't like discriminate against anyone. Like cancer like affects like everyone. It can affect like your girlfriend, your mom, like your aunt, like anyone.
Raising awareness is the ultimate goal this month, but it is also about empowering women to take charge and be there for each other in their time of need.
And I think we did like a decent job about making people at least more comfortable talking about it, because I think the more you see like football players wearing pink, like everyone wearing pink, like it creates a more open dialogue about the subject, and I think that's good.
For more information, just go to www.nbcam.org. In College Park, I'm Corey Gallagher, Terp Weekly Edition.
After the break on Terp Weekly Edition, a local basketball standout walks on for the Terps.
And we ask students why a t-shirt has them waking up early to register for intramural sports. Stay tuned. Kaufman. From a highly touted recruit to a College Park scholar to a member of the women's basketball team, I caught up with Sequoia Austin and talked about her unusual journey.
At one point, Sequoia Austin was being recruited by C. Vivian Stringer, the Hall of Fame coach at Rutgers. But she didn't receive much exposure while playing for her Virginia AAU team last summer, and these Division I type programs decided to go elsewhere with their scholarships.
Really, it was just an unfortunate experience. I don't wish to dwell on too much, but things happen. Things happen, and it didn't work out in my favor, but I just learned from that you gotta keep going.
Austin came to Maryland and was admitted into College Park Scholars, a program reserved for academically gifted freshmen and sophomores. But she couldn't give up on her dream.
I was just put in a weird, unfortunate situation in terms of AAU. So when it came to senior year, I had to apply to colleges regularly, academically. And so once I took that path, I said to myself, I gotta give it a shot.
Austin decided to go out as a walk-on for Maryland's team. Coach Brenda Fries was impressed by Austin from day one.
First and foremost, Sequoia was admitted into Maryland on her own, which is extremely difficult to do. So it shows to you what a high IQ she has coming in. But she's extremely bright, driven, very articulate, and, brings high energy.
Her teammates, like junior Lynetta Kaiser, are starting to take notice as well.
That's a spark plug there for you. Sometimes she's so fast. She's so fast in practice. I remember yesterday I had to be like, look, you got to slow down a little bit. She just goes. She just goes and she hustles. And she's a tough kid. She is. She's just flat out tough. She just plays hard 24/7. She's somebody that brings a lot of energy. You hear her voice. And for a freshman to step outside her comfort zone and bring that to that team, that's phenomenal. That says a lot about her.
Sophomore point guard Dara Taylor, who is listed generously at 5'7" tall, agrees.
I'm usually the shortest player. Sequoia is like a foot shorter than I am, but you wouldn't know it on the court because she's all over the place, hustling, trying to get rebounds, taking charges. She's just that real energetic player that everybody can feed off of.
Austin's got a message for the Maryland faithful who have yet to see her play.
I'm here and I'm ready to show you what I got.
In College Park, I'm Brian Kaufman, Terp Weekly Edition.
In most sports, a championship is recognized with a gleaming trophy. But as our Alex Dobberson found out, a championship t-shirt has hundreds of students battling for intramural glory.
It goes without saying, sports are big here at the University of Maryland. Football, basketball, and even soccer games can bring out thousands of Terp fans on a given game day. But for many of these fans, watching from the sidelines doesn't satisfy their competitive edge. And for those fans, there are intramural sports.
I think a lot of people play because they feel like it's a chance for them to get recreation and to have that play with their friends on campus, because if they're not on the NCAA teams, they don't have any other thing to do other than play intramurals.
Senior Phil Sharp has seen his fair share of Maryland intramurals. He plays both soccer and flag football, and is a referee supervisor for all the sports.
I would say for us it's fun, because that's what we try to create, is a fun and a safe environment, and they feel that they get that here.
But as I found out, when a championship t-shirt is on the line, that fun and safe environment can quickly turn very, very intense.
There's absolutely people coming here to get the t-shirt.
Oh, they can get really competitive. Everyone's out there to win the t-shirt that says Intramural Champions on it.
To win a t-shirt? To be honest, a lot of kids want to win. They're here to win.
It gets a little heated. My last game, you know, people were knocking each other down, diving for balls.
That competitiveness prompts some students to draw up game plans and coordinated plays to bring down their opponents.
Usually they play man, but they're playing zone, so they got three guys split out wide, basically playing like corners. So they'll play the short zone. The two defensive linemen in the middle, they'll rush the quarterback, you know, try to make a play.
My team's already drawn up X and O's. Herbie and I, my friend Herb, we've been in there all day. We had a little practice out on the Playa Beach yesterday. Gotta get the team ready.
And for at least one alumnus who fell short of a championship, the dream for one last chance has him revisiting his old team.
I told them if they want to pick me up for free agency, they could pay for grad school, but that didn't work too well.
In College Park, I'm Alex Dobberson, Terp Weekly Edition.
Video games have long been a source of entertainment for college students, but Terp Weekly Edition's Fiona Weeks finds out how they can be educational and possibly addictive.
1980, Namco develops Pac-Man and is taking over the video game industry, quickly becoming a social phenomenon. Fast forward to 2010, now the industry is dominated by high-tech first-person shooter games like Halo and Call of Duty, and sports giants like Madden NFL. The evolution of modern video games has introduced increasingly realistic graphics, improved gameplay, and online gaming, which allows gamers to play with others across the world. 65% of college students say they're regular or occasional game players, according to a Pew Internet Research study. Nathaniel Poling, a doctoral student at the University of Florida, believes that there's even more to be offered by video games. Poling teaches a two-credit class which uses the popular real-time strategy game StarCraft to teach valuable 21st century skills.
You are controlling a lot of different units, you're controlling a lot of buildings, a lot of different processes, and that's a prime area to, you know, work on your management skills, your multitasking, your macro management, your micromanagement, as well as your critical thinking and problem solving.
Spend a Friday night at the Union Terp Zone and you'll hear the usual sounds of bowling, billiards, and arcade games, but a more recent addition, video game tournaments, seems to capture the largest crowd. Tonight, a group of around 40 guys are huddled around five large TV screens for the FIFA 2011 tournament. Sponsored by the Terp Zone and EA Sports, the event has drawn out just a portion of the large gaming community on campus, who dedicate several hours a week to gaming.
10 hours a week,
about 20 hours a week,
at least 3 hours a day, 7 days a week, so at least 21 hours.
But when does too much of a good thing turn to a bad thing? On October 8th, Darren Suchon, an unemployed gamer from Lehigh Township, Pennsylvania, rammed a car driven by his girlfriend off the road when she attempted to take his PlayStation 3 game console to work with her, in an attempt to encourage Suchon to find a job. Can people actually get addicted to video games? I asked Dr. Michael Brody, a visiting professor at the university and a child psychiatrist.
I think some children or some adolescents could become addicted in the sense that if you take the video games away, they become miserable, They want to play more and more, and the most important thing, they start to have problems as a result of their obsessive play with video games.
But how do you detect an addiction? Video game addictions are not recognized by the American Medical Association, and there are no definitive signs or symptoms. Dr. Brody suggests that if play becomes obsessive and causes problems in other areas, including school or social interactions, or if there is continuous play without doing anything else, socially or otherwise, there may be cause for concern. He adds that he does not consider video game addiction a diagnostic category in itself, but rather a symptom of either depression or anxiety. For Terp Weekly Edition in College Park, this is Fiona Weeks.
That's all for this week. I'm Faye Coya.
And I'm Brian Kaufman. Don't forget, you can take us with you. Our podcast is available online at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.